Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's third quarter 2015 results conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star then zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
All right. Thanks, and welcome everyone to this conference call for the results of the third quarter of 2015. As you can see in the agenda on page number three, we will review the financial results of the company for the third quarter, and then we will go deeper into each business segment, where we will look at how the market was during the quarter and also what is the outlook for the coming month. We will end up with the third quarter and subsequent events and, of course, a round of Q&A afterwards. Let me begin on page number four by showing the highlights of the quarter. We can see there that our revenue was 6.6% lower than last quarter, with a total of $1,281 million. An adjusted EBITDA 5.5% lower than last quarter, with $324.6 million. Our net income was almost 18% lower than last quarter at $87 million. Our net debt went down 5.7% and now is a little bit less than $3.8 billion. That reflected in a leverage, net financial debt to last 12 months adjusted EBITDA of 2.9, which is 6.5% lower in terms of the ratio. If we go to page number five and we look at the income statement, we can see there the decrease in revenues, which is basically explained by lower sales volume in pulp and panels. A little bit of increase in some timber, and also a decrease in the energy sales, basically because of lower spot prices in Chile in general of electricity. Cost of sales went down also because of the decrease in sales volume. We have also a reduction in administrative costs and distribution costs, which is basically explained by higher exchange rate, more depreciated local currencies that are affecting wages and salaries in terms of dollars. Also, the exchange rate differences that we saw in Brazil especially had an impact in the exchange rate differences in the income statement of a negative $22 million, which is a 28% depreciation of the Brazilian currency. Also to mention is the financial cost. The net financial cost went down from $54 million to $47 million. This is basically an increase in financial income. The financial expenses were more or less stable, but we had a positive impact in the financial income due to mark-to-market of some derivatives that were protecting exchange rates in Colombia, basically. Other income that goes up from $54 million to $72 million is explained by some one-time effect of some access easements that were obtained, about $7.6 million, and some recovery of fiscal credits done in Brazil for another $5 million. Of course, income tax goes down as income before tax is lower, and that ends up with a decrease in net income from $106 million to $87 million. That is the 18%. If you look at the sales distribution by segment, no big changes here. Pulp is 46%, panels 36.6%, some timber 15%, and forestry 2%. Now if we go to page number 6 and we look a little bit about the how we calculate adjusted EBITDA, we can see that the decrease in EBITDA of 5.5%, that is basically because of less operating income. And then, if we look at a year over year accumulated, I mean, last 12 months, year accumulated at until the third quarter, we have an increase of about 4%. If you look at the graph down there, you can see that our EBITDA has been more or less stable in the last year and a half at least, and the EBITDA margin is basically stabilized at the 25%. So margins went up a little bit, but the total EBITDA went down because of decrease in sales, basically. In terms of what business segments are impacting the EBITDA, we can see that we have lower EBITDA from pulp and panels, and we had some improvements in what is especially SG&A. Now on page 7, if we look at the debt of the company, we can see that we had a good quarter in terms of free cash flow. We had a decrease in total financial debt of $211 million, going from $4.5 billion to $4.3 billion. And our net debt decreased a little bit more at $228 million. That helped decrease our leverage to 2.9 from 3.1. And now we can see that in a year we have decreased from 3.6 to 2.9. Part of the activities during the quarter was basically prepayment of loans. So we prepaid $28 million of our credit in North America. And the rest, the balance, the only $4 million that were left were paid in November. We also paid back pre-export financing of $80 million, and we issue a new one of $40 million that is due at the end of this month. If you look at cash and cash equivalents, we have been stable since this year. A year ago, we had about $1 billion, but now we are more or less stabilized at 500 and a little bit more million dollars. Looking at the financial profile, we can see the effect of the rolling over of a credit that we did during the last quarter. That amortization of $300 million was due in 2016, and now it is rolled over to 2018. So we don't face a lot of amortizations for the rest of this year and 2016. Now on page 8, we can look at more detail of the cash flow. And we see here that in terms of collection and payment to suppliers is rather stable. What we have seen a little of changes is basically the decrease in capital expenditures, which went down from $186 million to $100 million, which is basically explained by that last quarter we were still paying some capex coming from the MDP construction stage. That is almost over. In terms of other payments, we can see that the previous quarter had the payments of dividends, that it was about $98 million. In this quarter, we don't have any dividends paid. We will have the provisory payments of dividends the fourth quarter that we always do at this part of the year, which are about $50 million, something like that. In terms of repayment of borrowings, I already told you that we paid the what was left of the Arauco North America loan, and we also paid $80 million of pre-export, and we issue a new pre-export financing for $40 million. That's why we see that $153 million of repayments of borrowings. So the total cash inflow outflow of the period was $37 million positive, and that's why our cash goes slightly above the level of last quarter. Okay. And now, if we move to page number 10, we can start looking at what was going on in the markets, especially starting from pulp. We can see in the table there and also in the graph the decrease in sales of 7% comparing the last quarter. And we can see that basically this was due to a decrease of 6.6% in volume. And the volume decrease was explained, as you can see in the production table there, the decrease in production that is, at the same time is explained by some program maintenance at the Licancel mill and Arauco mill too. So it's basically an explanation of less production that impacted the sales volume. In terms of pricing, we saw some decline during the quarter, at the end basically of prices throughout the markets. Short fiber market prices remained above long fiber prices, and this is a typical situation, has been going on for some months now, and we have some negative spread between softwood and hardwood. The Asian markets received more supply from Russian and Canadian producers. They were more aggressive, helped by the depreciation of their currencies. Europe saw an increase in demand that is showing some the health of the economy is recovering, and the paper producers are having good orders, and they're producing at good capacity. In terms of a maintenance program for the fourth quarter, we have the Nueva Aldea mill that was already done, the Valdivia mill, and the Esperanza mill that was done. The Esperanza mill is in Argentina. In terms of comparison between this quarter and a year ago, we saw an increase in volume of 7%, and that is basically due to the ramp-up of the Montes del Plata mill. Now, in page 11, if we look a little bit to the future, we can see that we are seeing increased supply in general in softwood and a little bit in wholesale hardwood. So markets and prices continue to go down in Asia especially. In Europe, the decrease wasn't so big because the paper mills are running at good capacity. So we have seen prices constant in hardwood and a marginal decrease in softwood. In terms of inventory level, we can see that the inventories of bleached softwood kraft pulp are 30 days and in hardwood are 39 days, which is very much the same as 3 months ago. In the middle of the quarter, we saw an increase in inventories, especially in August, but those numbers went down again about 3 days and 2 days in September. So that is a good sign that there's not a lot of an excess of pulp in the system. We have also seen some temporary decrease in hardwood pulp capacity in Brazil because of technical problems and water issues that is affecting a rather big capacity. This, of course, is going to be temporary, but it also is helping to the market to be more stabilized looking into the future. If we look at spread between fibers in terms of list prices, we, of course, we see a positive 16 dollars per ton spread. It's a decrease compared to the 43. But if you look at net prices, of course, the spread is negative and is about $20 at this stage. We could go to page 12 and now talk a little bit about panels. We are seeing here a decrease of 6% of sales quarter over quarter, which is a combination of volume, basically, and some small decrease in price. If you compare to a year ago, that decrease is higher. It's at 8.6%, which is a combination mostly of price rather than volume. In terms of panel production, I will say that it was more or less the same as last quarter, stabilizing a little bit more than 1.3 million cubic meters. And the facts here are seen basically because of more competitions from countries that have depreciated currencies, especially more than our local currency in Chile. In terms of plywood sales, we're still seeing some increment in sales because of the increased production in our Nueva Aldea mill that is completing its ramp-up process. Particle board in North America has maintained steady demand, but MDF market has slowed a little bit in North America, and that is again explained by a little bit of lower demand and some more competition from Canadian and Brazilian producers that are trying to export away from the relative overcrowded markets in Brazil especially. Page 13, what we see in the future for panels, this of course depends on the market, it's local market driven. We are seeing good markets and stable demand for melamine and particle board in North America. However, MDF moldings are facing increased competition from other importers that, again, is explained by depreciation of their currencies. Chile, as well as the rest of Latin America in general, has some adjustments in volume, but stable overall. The domestic market in Brazil is challenged by a down cycle in the economy. We are facing negative growth in the economy, and some competitors are trying to export away their volume, which is also helping the local market a little bit because the demand is rather slow. In Argentina, which is always a special market, MDF and particle sales have been stable, and we have been delivering good results with melamine production. In Mexico, which is one of the biggest markets in terms of exports, we have seen good sales last month, and according to our plan, again, facing more fierce competition from Brazilian, especially in those markets, as we have seen in other markets. In page 14, we talk a little bit about Sun Timber. In Sun Timber, this quarter was rather the same as the second quarter of 2015, but 15% lower than a year ago. Here we're seeing reductions in prices of 2.5% and 1.2% increase in volume. And you can see production there is 700,000 cubic meters, more or less stable. The decrease in revenues, basically explained by decreasing prices, again explained by more competition in the markets. We've seen the demand more or less stable, but increased competition by some volumes coming from other countries. The North American market has maintained momentum of new construction and renovation, and that is translated in the stable markets for molding, and again, competition from Brazilians in moldings. And the rest of Latin America is showing stable demand, and we have been able to increase some market share in the last 6 months. Page 15, we look at the outlook for Sun Timber. We had a slight decrease in the housing start index. That was 1.13 million units last month. But still, we're seeing a clear path of increase in construction, and the U.S. economy is showing some strength in terms of unemployment, and the Federal Reserve is ready to start its path of increased rates, showing that the economy is now ready for a new phase. So the remodeling and construction sector in the States is showing signs of improvement. The rest of the market, China, South Korea, Taiwan, Japan, and Middle East, has shown some signs of softening during this quarter, both in volume and prices, but the remanufactured product demand is improving. And the rest of Latin America, as we have seen, are small markets, but showing stable demand. And we expect that to continue for the rest of the year. Now, if we look at the subsequent event of the third quarter event, we can start by showing the announcement that we did for the intention to build a new particle board mill in the United States in the city of Grayling, Michigan. Our intention is to build a mill that will have an estimated investment of $325 million at a capacity of 750,000 cubic meters of particle board. And we expect to start construction probably at the end of 2015 And if we do that, the first panel will come out of the mill probably at the last part of 2018. Of course, the project is subject to approval of some tax incentives and permits, local permits, and of course the approval of Arauco boards. We are now in the process of doing the feasibility final studies and doing the final approvals that we will need to get from the Arauco board. Page 18, already talked about this. We rolled over a $300 million bank debt that was with an original maturity of in June next year. We were able to renew at a lower spread, and this helped us to have a stable amounts of maturities in the coming years. And we didn't have any big maturities in 2018, and that's why we rolled it over for three more years. And lastly, in page 19, we are in the process of obtaining new local bond credit lines. The ones that we had were almost used in the issuance that we did in the past, and now we are renewing another amount of $700 million. This is just the credit line to have it ready to issue if we need to or want to in the coming future. This will provide more alternatives of financing in case we need it for Arauco. And, of course, the use of the lines will depend on financial needs and market conditions. So that is a very brief and quick summary of what happened during the quarter. I'm sure you have some questions, and we'll open the room for questions at this stage. Thanks.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the star key followed by 2. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from Carlos de Alba of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you very much. So I have several questions. The first one is if you could comment a little bit about the outlook for 2016, and if you can provide us some guidance for volumes in the three different businesses, as well as CapEx. Second, if you could clarify the CapEx amount for the new particle board mill that you might start building in North America. And then in terms of the market, there are some in the industry that are suggesting that the spread between hardwood and softwood, or softwood and hardwood, may not necessarily come back to prior levels, despite the fact of the cost differentials, because softwood has just lost market share to hardwood that is unlikely to recover given the mix, the change in the paper. In the paper demand and what type of fiber those markets that are growing in paper require. So if you could comment on that, what is your view, that would be useful. And then finally, is there any update on the MAPA project? Thank you.
Okay, thanks for your question, Carlos. Okay, let me start by the outlook of 2016. Yeah, it's very hard to predict price. So, and you asked for volume. So I would say that in terms of volume, we should, as always, try to run our mills at 100% capacity, and we will do so, I think, in pulp. We could expect a little bit more volume in 2016 because our Monte del Plata mill will probably run at the 1.3 million ton capacity. I mean, we have been having very good results in production last month, and we are sometimes overpassing the design capacity, and our plan is to produce 1.3 million, and this year 2015, our plan was 1.2 million. So we will have probably an extra 100,000 tons in pulp, and this year we had some a little bit longer stoppages in one of our mills, so I would expect also to have a little bit more volume on pulp. That is our plan. And in terms of the other divisions, some timber and panels, I would say that should be more or less the same as this year. We shouldn't have any surprises in terms of volume over those markets. In terms of CapEx for 2016, I will say that our CapEx will be between $500 and $600 million. We have the normal maintenance CapEx that we do every year, and the only big projects that we have is that we are doing a new water treatment plant in Horcones as part of the initial stage of MAPA, which is an $120 million investment, and I think from it will be about $80 million that will come out of the 2016 budget. And then we have some small expected capex coming from the Grayling project in Michigan. I would say probably the initial stages of construction we will done during the end of 16. So I will guess that this year it will be a little bit less than $500 million. And next year we should have only between 500 and 600, depending how we advance in doing the project. The capex for the particle board mill, as I said, is expected to be around 325. We haven't finalized the detailed engineering, so at the end of that stage, we'll probably know better the exact amount of capex as we design fully in detail the mill that we want to construct. But our initial estimates are about 325. Now, about the market of pulp. Yes, the negative spread have stayed a little bit longer than everyone thought, and now is $20 negative probably. And one of the reasons that this lower price for softwood have stayed longer than we thought is that even though the softwood producers have higher cash cost, the depreciation in of their currencies has helped them survive or have a better feeling about holding on with lower prices. So, in a different environment, we will have seen some market shutdowns, some definite shutdowns in pulp capacity in the softwood market, as the depreciation of currencies in Canada and other places are helping. This has been longer than we thought. I don't have information about loss of market share or some replacement being done that will not come back. I will say that if the currencies stabilize again to normal levels, we should see some market downtime if prices continue to go down in softwood. So I will expect this will reverse itself. I don't know exactly when, but I think we'll come at some point. And now, in terms of MAPA, I don't have a lot to say about it at this stage. Just to remember what has happened in the MAPA project, we obtained the original environmental approval in the February 2014. Then we had this appeal from some communities that came out. We won at the Supreme Court in December 2014. And then these communities decided to start another new recourse against the environmental authority, not against us, against the environmental authority that approved the environmental study, claiming that the permit was invalid. The environmental authority has to answer that claim. They haven't done so. We think that they will say that the environmental study was done correctly because they approved it originally. So if they say that, can then go to the environmental courts again, and if they win, we can go again to the Supreme Court. So this could take a little bit longer. So we don't have a timeline at this point for this investment. We need to wait until we have 100% sure that we have a clean picture to invest the amount of money we want to do. We are only advancing in the environmental part of this investment, which is the renewal of the water treatment system in the whole Orcones complex. Okay, so not a lot to say here. We still need to wait for some steps to be closed, and of course we will keep on fighting to. This is a very important part of our strategy, and we are pretty sure that it's a good thing for the company, for the communities, and the whole country.
All right. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Karel Lukchik of Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I have two questions. The first one on the pulp market, I follow up to your comments, Gianfranco, and to Carlos's question. Looking at the very recent events here by Cenibra and the mill in Indonesia closure, do you think there is a likelihood of prices eventually increasing towards December? We saw, we had the pulp week last week, which may have had a couple of news. If you could provide an update of that, that would be great. That's my first question. And my second question is also a follow-up on growth. If you may comment on the Valdivia mill conversion, just on where we're standing there, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, I don't have a lot of inside information about the pulp week in London. I wasn't there, but what I can tell you is that I think that we have an environment that is good for at least prices holding or trying to increase a little bit, because we have inventories that have decreased from last month, so, and they're in normal levels. It's not a tight market, but not an oversupplied market. And also we had these events of technical closures in Brazil. So I think the clients trying to push for more decreases in prices should be more with less argument to push down prices, because the supply is not there. It's not full of pulp. The growth continues, and in terms of demand, slowly, but it's increasing. So I think that we have a probability of prices recuperating part of the loss that they had in the last month. But I cannot assure that until we have some closings of final prices during November. But I think the environment is better than it was last month, and I hope that we can recuperate some of the losses in pricing. In terms of the Valdivia mill, the dissolving pulp project, situation is a little bit better, because the latest news that we had is that the Supreme Court rejected the action of the some communities that were arguing that we needed to do an environmental study instead of an environmental declaration. Just to give you some sense of this is all changes in this mill are done inside the fence of the mill, so there's no impact outside of the mill. It's changing the process, but the all the emissions effluents are the same, and that's why we applied to environmental declaration, which is simpler than the environmental study. They argue that we needed to have the environmental study, and they claim that, and the Supreme Court just rejected that about a couple of days ago. So that is very good news for a project, because that means that we can start planning and trying to advance on this project, and we are going to continue doing all the studies in order to have the definite approval and go ahead with this project, because it's very important. So we are more optimistic since the last week, because we had this final rejection of the Supreme Court in this case.
That's great, Gianfranco. Thank you.
Once again, if you do wish to pose a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please hold again while we poll for questions. Seeing no further questions, I would like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Gianfranco Trofello for any closing remarks.
Okay, thanks everyone for attending this conference call. As every time we do this, if you have any further questions, just contact us by email or call our investor relations department. Our next call should be around March with the definite 2015 numbers, and so we hope we can meet ourselves over there at that time. So thank you all again for attending. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This thus concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time, and have a nice day.